Praise God. Peter, when he was arrested in the New Testament, Peter was arrested. Herod was up in arms against the church, took James and killed James, cut off his head, arrested Peter. Looked like he was going to kill Peter too. Stuck him in prison. I mean, there was nothing to say that Peter wasn't going to die, man. As far as he knew, that was it. It was the end of the rope. The gig was up. His head was going to roll next. But the church that was in that house there started praying through, man. They started praying for Peter. They started seeking God for Peter. Now, I'm not, you know, I love you guys very much, and I'm not casting any stones or anything. You know, I'm not trying to make you feel bad or anything like that. But, you know, generally in America, when we pray for somebody, you know, you hear somebody's in prison, you know, well, let's remember them in prayer. Okay, so we say a prayer, and we say, okay, well, praise God. You know, we'll put them on the prayer list. And then we go and eat cookies and drink coffee and carry on, and, you know, sure hope he gets out of there. Boy, yeah, he's in a heap of trouble. Man, I'll have to pray again for that tomorrow. You know, if Peter lived in America, boy, would be dead, man. His head would have rolled. But these folks knew how to pray through. They prevailed in prayer. They prayed and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed some more. And they kept on praying and praying and praying. They were so deep in prayer, so caught up in a prayer groove, that when the answer to their prayer showed up at the door, they didn't even believe it. They told the girl, shut up, and they kept on praying. God sent an angel. I mean, let Peter out of prison. The chains fell off, let him past the guards. They didn't even see him. They brought him out into the street. He's like, man, son of a gun, I'm free. So he goes to finds the house, knocks on the door, and they're in prayer for him. Girl answers the door, sees it's Peter, slams the door in his face. She didn't know what to do. And they were so caught up in prayer that they you know, she tried to tell him, Peter's here. They're like, shh, we're praying for Peter, you know. I know, man. I was just like, man, I love to, I love when that stuff happens. I love to see that happen here. I mean, you know, these people prayed, man. They were prayers. These were serious prayers. They loved to pray because they believed that there is a God who rewards those who diligently seek Him. They're not praying into the air. They're not spitting into the wind. They are praying to the living God, who is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That is prevailing prayer. That's prevail. That's praying through, man. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray till I get an answer. Now, why do we have to prevail in prayer? Why is it that we have to go through this thing? Why can't we just say this short little nice prayer, you know? And then be done with it and, you know, expect God to answer. I mean, He does answer those kinds of prayers sometimes, but why is it that we need to prevail? I believe it's because prayer is a process of spiritual warfare. Prayer, real true intercessory prayer, is a wrestling in the spirit. Wrestling with ourselves, wrestling with the enemy, and even wrestling with God. I think it's actually God wrestling with us, but we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But even, you know, I mean, even when you go in a prayer line, sometimes if you're in a big meeting and there's thousands of people there and the minister only has a chance to pray for you for a moment, you know, you'd love for him to sit there and pray for you for 3 hours, but, you know, there's 2,000 other people in line and he only has a chance to pray for you for a moment. Yet, before that time, I can promise you he spent hours on his face, days maybe in prayer, seeking God until he had prayed through for that meeting. So by the time you get to that meeting, that man's already prayed up. He only has to lay hands on you and pray for a moment and see the power of God fall upon you and do a work in your life. Because he's already paid the price in the closet, in the prayer closet, prevailing with God, wrestling with God until that witness came in his spirit and the Holy Spirit let him go and said, okay, you can go now. I'll show up when you do. Praise God. So like I said, we wrestle with ourselves, we wrestle with God, we wrestle with the enemy. Let's just look at one of these each at a time, and I'll go pretty quick. I don't want to keep you here all day. Wrestling with ourselves. Anybody ever wrestle with yourself? Yeah. A lot of you. How many people have wrestled with themselves? Awesome. Ty, would you like to demonstrate that? Well, I'll make a space on the floor. No, that's okay, brother. I've got me in a submission hold. Oh, I better tap out. I can't breathe. beat myself up all the time, man. Sometimes the biggest battle in prayer is battling ourselves, sometimes even just to get ourselves to pray. We know we're supposed to pray, and we'll spend 3 hours saying, okay, I'll pray as soon as I do this other one thing. And then we do that thing, and we think, okay, well, time to pray, but I'll get to that as soon as I do this other thing here. And then we'll go do that thing, and then we forget for a while. Then we're like, oh, yeah, I was supposed to pray. Well, I'll do that as soon as I do this. Next thing you know, you don't have time to pray anymore. The day has gone by. You got to go somewhere, and that's it. Your opportunity is gone. It is a struggle sometimes just to get ourselves to pray. Amen? Amen. I'm there, man. I wrestle with that. I wrestle with myself all the time, man. See me sometimes. I'll be, you know, all over the place, knocking chairs over, trying to get myself down to pray. You know, I've got all these other things, all these other demands that are screaming at me. Well, you know, you got to do this thing. You got to do that thing over there. You got this thing you got to take care of. 1,000 things will distract us when we decide it's time to pray. They will scream out for our attention. Some of them literally, some of these little guys will literally scream out for our attention when we decide it's time to pray. They're like, hold on, Lord, I'll be there as soon as I can wrestle this guy down and, you know, occupy him somehow. 1,000 reasons why we don't have time to pray will enter our mind and argue with us. Well, you know what D.L. Moody said? He said, if you have so much business to attend to that you don't have time to pray, you are far busier than God ever intended for you to be. Ask God if you got time to pray. God, I can't pray. I'm too busy. Maybe he'll say, well, maybe you're just a little bit too busy. Maybe you need to unbusy a little bit. Because if I haven't sent you out to do that, if I haven't said do that, and you're doing that instead of seeking my face, then you're busier than you ought to be. You don't need to do that after all. Praise God. So, Even if we pray continually through the day, and that's a wonderful thing, you know, you're driving down the road, you're praying, or you're at work and things come up and you pray about it right on the spot, that's cool. I don't want to put that down, and we ought to pray throughout the day. But you know, unless we have a time set aside for prayer, we will never get into deep, powerful intercessory prayer that really moves heaven and earth, that moves mountains in our life, unless we can find a place to get alone with God and spend some time in dedicated, serious prayer. Sometimes that's why I think it's good to have a set time that we pray. Put it on the schedule. Block in a time. Down in the Solomon Islands, we were talking about the revival going there last week. They get up 4 o'clock in the morning and pray from 4 until 6 in the morning. Of course, you see the results of it, a 30-year outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival. That's how God answers that kind of prayer. Maybe we need to get up early. I was talking last week about Tony Evans. His dad used to get up an hour before anybody in the house got up because he figured that's the only way he could get some serious prayer time in. He worked long hours. He didn't have time in the evening or he was too tired. So he got up an hour early and in the dark before the rest of the family got up, he would be on his face in the living room downstairs crying out to God. And you know what the fruit of that was? Look at his son. Do we want our kids to grow up to be a Tony Evans? Better believe it. Better believe it. Man. So sometimes it's good to have a set, in fact, it's always good to have a set prayer time. It helps us to be faithful, even if we have to get up a little bit earlier. There's another kind of wrestling we do with ourselves in prayer, and that is to try to get past praying in the flesh and to get into praying in the spirit. Do you know what I'm saying? You know how, you know, you start out in prayer in first gear, and sometimes the gears are grinding, you know, and you start praying very mechanically. How many people ever start out praying very mechanically? You know, dear God, how are you? I am fine. How is the weather in heaven? Well, I have to go now. In Jesus' name, you know. It's very mechanical, you know. God, it's me. Okay, I'm here. You know, and it's labored, it's mechanical, it's in the flesh, it can be, and it's hard work. It's hard work to get to that place where you begin to take off from the ground, just like a jet leaving the ground, you know. He kicks it in, and you start to go faster and faster and faster, and stuff starts to go by quicker and quicker until it's almost a blur. And then finally, you know, he hits the flaps, and the thing just leaps up into the air, and your stomach goes down into, you know, like, you know, your knees or something. It's like, whoosh, you're like, oh, cool, ah, you know. It's cool when that happens in prayer, too. I mean, it's cool on an airplane, you know. But it's even better when it happens in prayer, because you're sitting there grinding out this prayer to God. Oh, God, thank you for the day. Yeah. Thank you for this day, and thank you for the weather. Thank you anyway, you know, it's in spite of the weather. And, you know, you're grinding your way through this thing, but if you prevail long enough, if you will wrestle yourself to stay and pursue God, eventually those flaps will go up and you will feel the Spirit begin to come and your prayer will become more spontaneous. It'll be natural. In fact, you won't be able to stop. God will just give you the words and the Spirit starts to pray through you. You don't even have to think. You can put your prayer list aside, man. Sometimes, and it's great to have a prayer journal. It's great to have a list. I'm not putting that down. I was preaching that a couple years ago. But, you know, sometimes it's time to just set the thing aside and let the Holy Ghost say what He wants to say. He'll get to that stuff. There's plenty of time for that stuff. But if you're praying in the Spirit and you know, He's sweeping you along, man, just say, okay, God, here I am. Holy Spirit, just give me the words. And if you want to pray in tongues or if you just want to, you know, praise God for 3 hours. Man, there is power in that. If you do nothing but ascribe to God the greatness and glory that is due His name, He will fill you with such power you won't need that list. Instead of praying for, you know, Aunt Betty over there, you can just pay her a visit and lay hands on her and the Holy Ghost will fall and heal the girl. If you spend that time in the presence of God, and allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you. But that's wrestling, man, because your flesh doesn't want to give it up. Your flesh just wants to, you know, just let me get through this thing. How much longer do I have to pray? I got 12 minutes left. Okay. So there's a wrestling with ourselves. Number two, there is a wrestling with God. That's a tall order, you know. In this corner, ladies and gentlemen, standing at 5'8", weighing in at pounds, John D'Souza from Denton, Maryland. And in this corner, the living God, creator of heaven and earth. Yeah. Are you ready? Are you there? Whoa, where did he go? Wrestling with God. I mean, what a proposition. We're going to wrestle with God. Jacob wrestled with God. Can you imagine that? Wrestling with God? Kind of like when you wrestle with your kids. You know, it's so cute. Your little 3-year-old wants to, you know, wrestle with you. And you're like, all right. You know, so you slam her down, you know, get her hands locked behind her head. No. Well, some people do. But there's a graciousness about it. Wrestling with God. It's actually a pleasure for God to wrestle with us. You know why? Because we're not wrestling. You know what wrestling with God? Wrestling with God is not trying to bend God's arm to get Him to give you what you want. God already wants to bless you beyond anything you can even imagine. God loves to bless you. He wants to bless you more than you want Him to bless you because it brings Him glory. He knows it will make your relationship with Him that much more close and intimate. It's not that God is mean and stingy, you know. He's got all these blessings in heaven and He just wants to, like, you know, dole them out a little bit at a time. Wrestling with God is not trying to bend God's will. It's God trying to bend our will. When we wrestle with God, the Holy Spirit begins to search our hearts in prayer. Oh, man. Prayer will transform you, whether you're looking to get transformed or not, if you will seek God. Because as you wrestle with God about the things that weigh upon your soul, the Holy Spirit begins to go down into your soul and peel back the veneer and peel back the pretense and start putting His finger on things in your life. I remember I'm sitting here one day praying for revival, you know, and the Holy Spirit says, why do you really want revival? Why are you asking me for that? Is that because you know that that's the thing you're supposed to pray for and it's prayer time and so you're asking me to do that? Why do you really want it? And do you know that I actually had to hesitate for a moment to search my heart and say, well, why do I really want revival?